On NBC yesterday, Vice President Mike Pence said he supported the Trump administration's decision to ban rainbow flags from the flagpoles of U.S. embassies during Pride Month, something NBC recently reported had been allowed in the Obama administration.
When it comes to the American flagpole at American embassies and capitals around the world, having the one American flag fly, I think, is the right decision.
Pence also tweeted support for the president's Mexico deal to avoid tariffs, even though most observers say there's not much new about that deal and Trump was trying to save face after being told the tariffs were a terrible idea. A vice president is a president's wingman. We thought we'd look at how Pence is doing in this role with USA Today reporter Maureen Grappi. She's covered Pence since 2001 when he was a congressman from Indiana, where he was also a governor. Maureen, welcome.
Thank you.
And just talk about Pence's role, perhaps, in this change on the Mexico tariffs that took place over the past week. A number of Republicans in Congress criticized those tariffs that were supposed to start this week. And Pence, as a longtime Indiana congressman, knows Congress. Does he go to Capitol Hill as sort of a force for President Trump? Is he the hammer? Is he the GOP whisperer for Trump? What is it?
He's sort of the salesman and sounding board. Tariffs is a good example of this. The trade is an issue that he's been very active on. He's a typical Republican viewpoint on trade before joining the Trump administration. Tariffs was something he would not normally have advocated in his past roles.
He would have been more for the traditional free trade.
Exactly. So he was recently up in Canada trying to push forward the new NAFTA, as they're calling the agreement. That's a role where he's comfortable because he's pushing for a trade deal. Having to defend the tariffs is a much more difficult position for him, but that's part of his job, to be sort of a punching bag on Capitol Hill when congressional Republicans are venting their frustrations about the tariffs and what they're doing. But he's a loyal soldier. His loyalty is undisputed to Trump. You see that in action every day. And even when he gets undercut by Trump, as he did when he was up in Canada trying to sell this, trying to push through this deal, the same day that Trump announces that he's going to impose new tariffs on Mexico, which jeopardizes this deal that Pence has been working on. Even when that happens again and again to him, you don't see him flinch. You see him continuing to be the loyal spokesman for Trump and the cheerleader for Trump.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that he was a traditional Republican before he became sort of a Trump Republican, if I've got that right. And that might mean free trade. But for others, it also might mean certain morals, certain accepting of a certain kind of behavior. And a lot of people have been puzzled about that because Mike Pence is an evangelical Christian. He was a Catholic. People have questioned how can he, you know, be so supportive of the president who's, you know, talked on tape about groping women. Explain that disconnect.
Right. That's one of the biggest questions that people have about him, where he comes in for criticism or just questions. I mean, he himself describes himself as, I'm a Christian, I'm a conservative, and a Republican, in that order. His faith is central to who he is. It's what guides him, and it's treating others with respect. That's a big part of how he lives out his faith. So to see that in such contrast with the president, who regularly makes fun of people in tweets and in public, it's very hard for most people to sort of square those two things. And some have just sort of questioned it, and others have more directly criticized him for that. Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who worked with Pence when Pence was governor, one of the reasons he gained some early traction in the presidential race is because at the CNN town hall, where he sort of started his breakout moment, he had a line where he asked how Pence could become the cheerleader for the porn star presidency, and that started some of the attention for him, and also sort of this debate among the Democratic candidates is about Pence and whether he's a decent guy or not.
Yeah. Well, let's take Buttigieg first, because it was former Vice President Joe Biden who called Pence a decent guy, and that unleashed a storm of protest from other candidates. But Buttigieg, who's the closest to him, at least they both, you know, worked in Indiana, you know, made those comments questioning why, how he could work with Trump. And when he was criticized about that by the Pence people, who said, well, you've actually called him a nice guy in the past, Buttigieg, who's openly gay, married, said, people will often be polite to you in person while advancing policies that harm you and your family. Talk about that perception of Pence. Nice guy, dot, 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 but.
Yeah, I think that's interesting to see how this has been playing out, where you hear people accuse Pence of, they say he hates gay people, and you hear his defender say, you know, he doesn't hate gay people. He's advocating his own religious beliefs, including the right to hold your own religious beliefs, the stances that he's taken on sort of so-called religious freedom issues. His biggest issue that he dealt with as governor, and where he sort of became nationally known to the extent that he was before Trump picked him, was when he signed into law the so-called religious freedom law that causes huge backlash in the state. He's struggled since then to sort of balance those two things, the right to believe what he wants to believe on whether marriages should be just between a man and a woman, and then how that plays out into the policy world, and whether that is, if you defend his side, are you discriminating against gay people? If you defend gay rights, are you discriminating against people whose religious beliefs lead them to a different view of marriage?
Well, what role do you think he'll play in the presidential campaign? Because he recently hinted he'd have a lot more to say about Pete Buttigieg if Buttigieg rises in the polls. Vice presidents are often attack dogs for the presidential candidate. And you've got people like journalist Michael D'Antonio and Peter Eisner, who have a darker view of his religious zeal. In their 2018 book, The Shadow President, they called Pence a Christian supremacist. They say his lifelong ambition is to be president, a cunning man who talks in evangelical code to win votes.
I think that's painting it a little strong. I mean, he's clearly is a bridge between the Trump administration and evangelicals and Christian conservatives. I mean, that's one of the key roles that he played when he was chosen for the ticket, that he could be a reassurance to those groups that the Trump administration would be friendly to them, as it has been, very friendly to them. And he will continue to play that outreach effort, I would expect, in the reelection campaign. He had a very large role in the midterm election in terms of campaigning for candidates, raising money for candidates, helping to recruit candidates. And he's always been a strong fundraiser. And one of the other things he's been doing recently is trying to reach out to some of the big donors who held back from Trump in 2016 and try to woo them and say, you know, look at the track record that we've gotten on judges and on tax cuts. Isn't this something that you want to support, especially given who the Democrats might nominate?
He's seen as a sycophant, and that's been said of many vice presidents. Pence has, you know, lavished praise on Trump at that public cabinet meeting. We remember that. They went around the table. And then in December 2017, another cabinet meeting, Vice President Pence had a compliment every 12 seconds for 3 minutes straight. Let's listen.
You've restored American credibility on the world stage. We're standing with our allies. We're standing up to our enemies, but you promised economic renewal at home. You said we could make this economy great again, and you promised to roll back regulations, and you signed more bills rolling back federal red tape.
So what to make of that? Of course, that will endear him to the president's base if he should, for instance, run, but what to make of that?
Well, one, you could look at it as a smart strategy for a vice president to this particular president who really demands loyalty and likes that kind of adulation. But it also is consistent with a style of leadership that Mike Pence has long believed in. It's called servant leadership. And it's a concept stemming from Jesus' comments to his disciples as he washed their feet, saying, "Whoever wants to be first must be your slave." It's an approach that seems to have worked well from the standpoint of he has survived in this administration where, you know, a lot of people have come and gone. But it has opened him up to a lot of ridicule because some of these statements seem so over the top. And you think, how can Pence still be smiling through all of that and still lavish as much praise as he does on the president?
Well, and just a note on servant leadership. I know people who follow that thinking, but it's more when they're serving, for instance, the homeless, to take a humble Christ-like, you are not better than, you know, the people that you serve kind of attitude. We're talking about serving a president. of the United States. That's fascinating. Look, Pence was a voice for the administration on a leadership change in Venezuela. He spoke out and supported that, but the hoped for coup did not happen. He's a space fan, head of the National Space Council. What else can you tell us that Pence is working on where it's seen that there is a path to something? You know, what else is he going to be attached to?
Well, he doesn't have as many sort of specific areas of influence the way some recent vice presidents have. And what his folks say is that when Pence and Trump talked about the role he would play is that Trump didn't want him to just be involved in certain things, that he wanted him to have a hand in a number of things. Critics will say there are not a lot of examples of showing where he actually influenced policy.
That's Maureen Grappi, again, USA Today reporter. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to be here.